Yeah, that's interesting that the big ones weren't getting the job done. That's usually not how that works. But I'm happy the 5/8 wave mag mount is. That's a good antenna.
Yeah, that, and I think the radio is making a big difference too. I started with the first one I tried to use as a base was a quad band. It was a TYT 9800, which is basically supposed to be the clone to the Yaesu 8900, but nowhere near, and just, that was a terrible radio. It was absolutely terrible. The SWR was terrible on it, no matter what antenna I put on it. It was just, it was a bad radio, and I know it was the radio because I used the same antenna, one of the same antennas when I got this one, and the SWR was 1.13 to 1. It was almost perfect. So, and then this antenna is dead nuts perfect, right at 1 to 1. So that radio was just junk.
Yeah, soil composition makes a little bit of difference too. Like, I tuned my hamstick at home, and I had a 1 to 1 ratio, and I went out to Crow Island and still had 1.1 ratio. I go out there to Bay City's beach, and my SWR jumped up to 3. I had to retune my antenna for the Bay City Park.
Maybe is sand more reflective? Because it's less dense, maybe it's absorbing more. That's kind of weird.
I wasn't on the beach part of it. I was in the marshland, the DNR part of it, in their parking lot. But yeah, it's a little bit different. Over there at Crow Island where I did it, it was more rock and kind of the same type of soil, marsh. But, yeah, this year's a little bit softer to get my ground spike into than it was to Crow Island. But, and my yard is pure clay. Very hard to get a ground spike into the ground at my house.
Yeah, I've been that route before. I hear that one. Definitely hear what you're saying there. Did that on my old... where I used to live, and I used to actually live in Bay City, and where I used to live in Bay City was all clay, and when I put up one of my antennas for my 10 meter, and had to pound that ground rod in through the clay, it took, oh yeah, it was not any fun. It took a lot of swings.
Yeah, I had a electrician out at my house running a ground wire from the panel to the water line to make the house code. And while I had him there, I had him install my ground rods for my radio for grounding, because they got this big impact wrench that, and they punched that right into the ground like it's nothing. It, otherwise, you ain't getting it in.
Yeah, if I'd have known then what, you know, I'd have known before what I found out after, then yeah, I probably would have went about the same route you did there, because, you know, like I said, it took two of us and a lot of swings to get that thing to go through. But I can tell you one thing, it's never coming out.
If you ever have to install another one, go rent the power tool. You can rent them at Menards and Home Depot, Midland, and somewhere else, I think.
Yeah, it's just what, just a hammer drill? Or did they use an impact gun?
It's an impact hammer. Big thing. Looked like a science fiction toy. And it just punches that thing and knocks it right down into that ground. I think it's the same tool for breaking up concrete, but the small portable version.
Yeah, that would make sense. Big old jackhammer, and just hammer that stinker in there. Like I said, if I ever have to do it again, hopefully I never have to do it again, though. I think I'm going to stick to cookie sheets and metal roofs.
Yeah, I put a small ground rod in one spot in my yard so I could run a ground from the chassis of the radio to the rod for static discharge protection, and the other rod was for electrical ground coming off the back of the radio and the power supply. And yeah, there's no way you're getting in that my yard any other way, that's for sure. We had our sump pump line break, and we had to get it replaced. The professional people that come out and do that stuff, I looked at them and said, where's the backhoe? They said, oh, we don't need that, we'll just hand dig it. I laughed at him, said, good luck. And he put, like, he couldn't scratch the soil with the shovels. He put, like, a 10-millimeter mark in the ground and it took him 30 minutes just to do that. Finally, they caved in and called for the backhoe.
Yeah, that clay can be a lot of fun to play with, especially if it's depends on what time of year it is too. It can either be cold or too dry because there hasn't been enough rain or any of that, and you're not getting through it. You're not getting through it with nothing. Even those, what do you call it? I know when we put a pool in our backyard and then try putting the damn fence around it, I couldn't get through it even with a post hole drill, not the digger, but the big drill that you rent. Wouldn't go through it. It kept clogging it up and stopping it and making it backfire and cutting up the engine and everything, and it was hell.
Sounds like you had the small unit. You needed the two-man version. That would have cut through it. But, yeah, it definitely depends on time of year. When they came out to fix that line, it was during that year we had the drought, so the ground was like concrete. And, yeah, we had to put a fence in my yard. Thankfully, did it in the spring, and the ground was nice and somewhat soft. So, but that post hole digger, the auger kind, that thing went and digged to the proper depth for the post holes. It dug like 2.5 feet to 2 feet, depending on where you put it. And that was all you're going to get. The other foot that I needed for putting the post in, you just had to use a fence post hammer and hammer it down into the clay at the proper depth and then pour your cement and hope it stands.
Yeah, I ended up taking that thing, I gotta hear you, I ended up taking that thing back after, like, I think we got through 2.5 holes with it before I finally gave up on it, and luckily my son-in-law had a bobcat that had the auger attachment on it, and he went home and brought his bobcat on his trailer with the auger attachment and did the rest of them for me.
Oh man, that's sweet. You're lucky. I wish that I knew somebody had a bobcat. If I did, I'd have them put a French drain in my yard. That way when we get all those heavy rains, which we haven't had in a long time, but when you do get them, a French drain really help.
Yeah, especially if you're living someplace low level. Anywhere in a flood zone or anything like that. Definitely comes in handy. Oh, every time it rains here, we've got like a two-level backyard, and then there's a creek that runs along the lower level of it, and that creek fills up, and the whole lower level, if it wasn't a two-level, there'd be 5 foot of water in my basement, because it fills up the whole lower level, almost to where it starts coming over the upper level. And then it just usually stops right there. It's been, I don't know if we're getting lucky that it stops there, or if that's the way it was designed, but it just stops before it starts going over that top level.
That sounds like design. You get a heavy downpour, and in Carlton, my whole side streets, every side street will flood. And so the ditches would be flooded, the road would be flooded, but it's by design, apparently. So when the city's aqua spots get overfilled, they open these special dams up, and they flood these side streets in Carlton. And the water goes right down the streets, down their designated path they got set up, and it goes through another dam and drops into the Saginaw River.
Welcome to the...
Where in Carlton do you live? I used to live in Carlton myself. I used to live right across the street from the high school.
North Michigan.
Uh-huh. Well, you're on the other side there. But yeah, I had a house there, and I ended up actually, we moved to Bay City, and I ended up using it as a rental for a few years, and then finally sold it. It was actually my wife's before we got married, which is now my ex-wife, but that's a whole other story. But yeah, right across the street from the high school there.